something more than my yesterday, little singer. Fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. You don't know it, even though some of you are trying to teach it to you, but I just might not do a good job, so you have to have faith in what gift is inside of you, what you're anointed for. Yeah. Amen. Oh, let us sing, He signed the deed with His atoning blood. Amen. Ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end. Remember last week we were speaking about holding the beginning of your confidence, steadfast at the end, your hope that you have. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. When God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men so verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Amen. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Amen. Where the forerunner is for us, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Amen. Remember, he had no beginning, no end, and life. So he's there. He cannot die. The high priest we have, make intercession or confession. Amen. Amen. I'd like to also get a couple of scriptures on Hebrews 12, verses 1 to 3. Go with that. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, laying aside, running, looking, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds.
Amen.
And Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
God has blessed me with his words. We have a seat. Well, we sit and thank God for you being here in spite of the situation today. Let's keep you back, and you know, we certainly looking forward by the grace of God that he is going to just meet our need as we wait before him faithfully, as we come by a divine revelation of our hearts and a great desire for a closer walk. And you know, we started these services last week Monday, and I think it was very good that we moved right into it, because I see the Holy Spirit, you know, last week there was right with us, and Tuesday it was such a blessing, and it came out of prayer. And you know, we, as I asked, that this service would be one that you all would participate. And we just want to keep things, you know, structured by the Holy Spirit, right in the Word, and you know, just share with you things that would open up the channel for us to come, because in these meetings we want to deal specifically and minister in a more personal way to individual needs, and just don't deal collectively like that. Because many times when you deal collectively, you can't afford to be as specific and direct as when dealing individually with people. And I saw a great need for ministering individually, you know, to the people, where we could maybe spend more time on particular needs that might be hindering people. You know, sometimes one person has something there and they just need for them to get deliverance from that thing and for that thing to break in their life, for it to really be free. And you know, it may take a little while to minister to them and to get them conscious of what the need is, where the problem lies, how the enemy works and hinders them. And you know, then when they see those things clearly, then they could put up the right kind of defense and they wouldn't fight as one beat in the air. The problem is that many people don't find themselves effective in their fight towards the enemy. And Paul says some people fight as one that beat the air. You know, if you fight as one beat in the air, you might be making a lot of effort, but your effort is not helping you to prevail against the opponent that is subduing you. Mm-hmm. And that's why the prophet in the contest is to study the tactics of your enemy, because he is studying yours. Mm-hmm. And if he's taking time to study yours, and then you're too interested to fight him, then you're going to find yourself being set back and being hindered many times. And you know, it's so important in order to have the victory in the battles of this life, by knowing your enemy. Even as Paul says, don't be ignorant of the devices of your enemy. And you know, especially when the battleground is within you. Amen. You see, because it's not an outward business. We will talk about a little bit about that this morning. And because I believe in as we approach, you know, the Lord in these meetings, and I will try my best to take my time and just maybe deal down to the smallest one, like the small little boy Joseph and Tim and them that's here, and just come right down to them, to the place where, you know, God really speak to their hearts. You know, even like little Rehab, she just come in there and she's telling me she's so looking forward to coming to the service. And I mean, she's about a 6-7 year old girl, and she went home after the service and the mother was testifying to her and they were praying. She said, Mommy, just give me a little time, because well, but if you're not saying the service, you're going to pray, your mind will be fixing what you're going to pray about. You're just going to then, you know, just pray. And she wants to be, her mind to be fixed, so she's coming to ask, she's going to, you know, be able to approach the Lord with faith. And you know, the mother just, you know, she just holds to what she hears. And you know, you see things like that, and that's the way, you know, Jesus said childlike faith. They don't know better. They something in their heart, they can have confidence in you, and they sort of get a likeness for you, and they, you know, you win their confidence. What you say, if you say walk over the air, they'll try to walk over the air. And a big person got a lot of mind battles over that day. They say, what are you taking for a fool, a little child or something? Well, I think that's what Jesus wants us. If you get our minds in that place where we have no self, we're nothing to resist His will, then we'll walk right over, leap over the wall of natural and supernatural, jump right over the troop of death, and go right into theophany. And that's where He wants to get each and every one of us. Amen. By the grace of God, you know, the more we live, you know, sometimes, like I was reading recently, the odd things are possible, and a lot of these great scholars who was around the prophet, you know, and they were all them big managers who's managing the big campaigns, and people who's handling the financial aspect of it, and who was, you know, arranging the meetings and the interviews and all the different things. Some of them, you know, when the writer was writing, he says, you know, the people around Abraham, and they find it childish. Man, are you a responsible man? You know, like big important matters, sometimes just, it don't seem like, you know, he give it the importance. I know, sometimes you think of it, you say, listen, here was the man with the most wisdom in this generation. It's like Solomon in his day, man with the intelligence of God. See, who live in the presence of God, ministered by an angel constantly. And, you know, here it is that his behavior became so childlike that the things that God would, you know, when that God would speak, go up in the blizzard. Why would he tell me to do that? I'm in there. But he says, no, I don't know, trust him. And he goes right in. And things like that. And you see where it came to. And then the great things happen. And you know, our approach many times is, we get it all arranged in the mind, and we get all serious about it, and we get all super duper about it, and we all try to bring the past, and then we just go so far away from it that we're locked in a prison of imagination and can't come out. Amen. See, and many times the things that happen right around us that look like it don't even connect to God or spiritual things, and you call it just in your life or in the daily routine,
Amen.
Right through the things. This is what God will reveal himself.
Amen.
But you see, we just can't be peace. We have to understand his atmosphere and his leader and know his spirit. And you know, in many times we have the opportunity to minister to the people individually. That's where you gotta find out when you're preaching, it is really getting home there.
Amen.
Because when you minister to people individually, you minister to them with an expectation that they caught all what you were saying while you were preaching to the congregation collectively.
Amen.
And then you gotta keep saying, but wasn't that what we were talking about last week in the service? Or wasn't that we talking about this year? Oh yeah, and they hear it, but what we were facing, they didn't seem to take that and say that was talking about that, what it was going through, and relate it and have inspiration to overcome what they were facing.
Amen.
And it's there you realize then that, you know, where the level of each one is. And when you see the level of each one is, you realize if I take 20 more minutes or 10 more minutes and break that down to a certain place, oh, they're going to get it.
Amen.
Because they believe it, they want to believe it, but the place where you left it at, and you say, well, did I get it there? Maybe 5 days there. And then the rest need to be broken and say, oh, I've heard, but now I see. You see?
Amen.
Now I get what you're talking about. Now I see how you're relating that.
Amen.
You see? Sometimes you speak of it, and I think they experience back in the prophet time. Just like when you read the message, and we have Moses come to children of Israel and Egypt and call them out. And we win the book of Exodus. And he's talking about Moses in this generation, the pillar of fire, calling people out to the denomination. And then that dawned on us as a revelation. And we said, I read it present tense, doing nothing but Abraham with the pillar of fire calling the bride out. He's in Moses.
Amen.
See? So then, not only read here, we got to even apply present tense, because otherwise we're back in 1965, back there.
Amen.
And God is doing something in 1989.
Amen.
You see? And that's what the Holy Spirit does. It don't make him I was, it make him I am, always.
Amen.
And his word is always for examples. Because he doesn't change his ways about doing things.
No.
That's why you could come. Now he said, whosoever will. Because when you come into something that he might have blessed the man by the gate beautiful for listening to Peter.
Amen.
But unless you don't get this by the gate beautiful or the man by the pool of Bethesda, or you don't get in one of them places, though your name is written there, but you have to read yourself into it.
Amen.
Because why? It makes him the same, and he did that to show you. If your situation applies, then you can have the same thing if you approach God in the same attitude.
Amen.
And now when faith is coming to you, faith brings the word. Faith comes with the word, but faith is revelation.
Amen.
And this is where people many times, they get a boost in the senses. They get a feeling and then faith, because no word comes with it. So the devil challenges them. You know, they have nothing to say, well, God said it. So they start the defenseless, but the devil is quoting scripture. Remember, the devil is quoting the scripture.
Amen.
And when he quotes a scripture, if you don't even have a scripture, then you say, well, what's going to happen? Because he's giving you a scripture that seems reasonable to your mind, like he did with Jesus. And that's why when revelation comes now, it comes by the word too. And then you can say it's also written.
Amen.
But the word has been inspired to you, see? And you know, you look many times, like when I had the in service, and many people had needs, and I said, no, what are we going to do? We're going to pray for a lot of these things after the service, and we're going to preach the word, and just let the people's attitude approach God. And you do those things, and the people still don't get it. You don't do this for formality. You do it when a situation arises, you're trying to show them that God's word is true. And God, coming this day, when we didn't know how to read the Bible, and God come in this day a prophet and say, no, look, when you're working the line to achieve something, you have to find the Bible where it is. He said, you're preaching for you want to get the Holy Ghost? He said, you teach about the Holy Ghost.
Uh-huh.
Let's try to get in the atmosphere. Let's try to get the thoughts that get in the mind. Let's try to understand the scriptures. Let's understand how people God give it to. Let's see the conditions they have to meet. You see, then what do? It's setting their spirit. It's setting the whole attitude. It's setting the whole makeup for a receiving of an experience that the word is talking about as they enter into the spirit of that word.
Amen.
It's into it healing. And it says, the reason we're going to do this here is because in the congregation, we have everybody there, and we come to teach the word on Thursdays and Sundays, and when we come, we spend 95% in teaching the word rather than in praying for the sick.
Amen.
So if it don't come to pass by, you know, we set up a request and we offer Real Buddha prayer, praise God, Lord, just the devil, all that bind that serpent, whoever it is. And it don't go. Then we leave it up to them. Hold your faith in the oppressor. But some of these people don't want to be delivered. They want to be delivered, but want to be delivered, having faith to be delivered to different things. Knowing how deliverance comes and staying in the channel to receive deliverance, that's a different thing. You go in the jail and ask me, man, you want to come out of jail? Sure, people want to come out of jail. Nobody wants to stay inside here. Man, I'm complaining the food, I can't sleep good in the night. You know, so I can't go to a party no more, I got to lock up inside of here. They cursing me, or they want to beat me up inside of here. You want to come out. But then the one may say, oh, all right, well, you don't stay here and be frustrated. You know, get a lawyer. It's going to represent you. Appeal your case. Your case. I saw a lawyer who knows the technical areas of the law. He said, you don't have a right to be telling you. You don't be going to police, you get bail and different things. And then they'll say, for true. They get a hope. You see? Now the same way. It's definitely the same way. That's why people carry things for years and find themselves bound in areas for years. Because they want to come out, but they don't know the way. That's why he said the key to the door. Amen. There's a key, there's a way to unlock.
Amen.
See? And come by the word.
Amen.
So what happens when you're in a situation there, it may need now setting the person's attitude, right in line with the scripture. It may need letting the person know that, you know, look here, God did those things. And get the spirit just set right there for that very thing until they can be a contact made.
Amen.
Because see, you don't have to pray for the request and really have it. You do that generally, you have time and service, you can't deal with it individually. You make a mass prayer. But sometimes all those people standing there, they say, I hope. It's like the hope they come true. They've got a lot in their mind, the real faith is, I was sending a request.
Yeah.
But it is again, because if the prayer made in the church, maybe something's going to happen.
Yeah.
But they of themselves don't make that contact to receive God's word, to see the atonement, to be convinced by his stripes will heal, to see his suffering, to see that God didn't have to take that. Nobody can beat God up the prophet with you. He didn't have to stand there and take 40 stripes on his back.
Amen.
But he took it.
Yes.
And in taking it, you're saying, okay, there'll be 40 different classifications of diseases. As a medical science says, there's 40 classifications. Or when you take all diseases and they break it down, there's 40 of them. And the scripture is 40 stripes he took.
Amen.
So when he slept there, he said, okay, 25, I'll take 40, and then it's stop. You're ordained, no more, no less. Remember, he ordained it, eh?
Yeah, okay.
You ordained it?
Yeah, that's
not when he took up the very last one, and the last one, like, the 35th one, like, split the flesh open, and the bones of a show.
Yeah.
And the blood began to pass out and faint for weakness almost. And he stands there and says, no, I can't stop you, because I have some sickness. You can't be healed at all. This will be a perfect atonement. And I'll stay getting every one of them. And while he's suffering there, that when he's going to be a high priest, he can intercede in your confession.
Hallelujah.
You know what I'm saying?
Hallelujah.
That is why when you reach in a place and you stand there, you kind of wonder, you say, Lord, I want to be going to heal me, I want to do this. And then, you know, you get yourself in a way like, where Satan holds you just in the sovereignty of God. So he's holding you in a realm where your faith can operate. Because he puts you into whatever will be. He puts you into, well, if I have to get healed from that, then I have to get healed from that. And your whole attitude don't come into faith in the atonement, it comes into a reason in your mind. So you're not putting God in faith no more. But sometimes you have to arrest the devil and take what is yours right there on your faith that God wants to do it now. But if you put it there, then you don't make him want to do it now. And you get into a kind of universalism. You get into a kind of attitude like, all things are there, God just ordained all things and then fold his arms and wait for the plan to come to pass. And then say, okay, plan of salvation is the time for the millennium, I'm going to come back down now. No, he works every day. Your father, my father, he's to every day. He's not just going to live up there, he's working every day. He's not an impersonal God back there. And those things is where the human spirit drifts into by trying to be reasonable and is sitting carrying the mind there and taking them away from the channel of faith where they can have it now. It could be a reality now. It is their possession now.
Amen.
But God actually came down and paid the price and died.
Amen.
If he's just waiting for the foundation rule and he spoke and be there, he's not going to go through all that.
Yeah.
But that's why he came down and died now.
Amen.
You see? Then the man can say, even now, Lord, now. He said, even now.
Amen.
And when you can really catch that faith, then you're going to find you're going to make a contact.
Amen.
But if people cannot make that contact, then you find the outside there. Then the thing is, in the scripture, there's people that couldn't make the contact. There's people who faith couldn't rise to the healing level.
Amen.
But Apostle explained that in the book, The Prophet's Religion of South Africa. He talks about Brother Branham explaining to them how when you minister to the people, and you see that light comes here. Why is he explaining that gift? Why is he explaining those scriptures? It was to lift the people's faith to the healing level. There's a level where faith must rise before healing can take place.
Amen.
And he kept with that discernment, enough to see. He said, because while I was on ministering there, he said, I could see patches of white and patches of black in the congregation.
Amen.
And then when faith keep building, he says, milky all over the building now.
Amen.
It's white now, see? Because it means that the place was kind of a little black there. Faith wasn't really holding. They were sent to see a man on the platform, he ended with the airs, but faith inside the heart there wasn't being inspired.
Amen.
I was wondering about some of the Baptists. The Baptists didn't kind of believe in all that.
Sure.
That's why he said, you just pray, you just think good thoughts. He said, think of it in a good way, that man is trying to help me. He says, think that in that kind of line. Because he said, if his spirit, he says, I can feel the thought. Now, I may not be able to feel the thought because I don't have that gift. But that thought will still hinder God.
Amen.
Exactly, it will still hinder God.
He said,
think good about it. Amen. Think that man's going to help me. Think that this comes from God. And then if you see a little doubt there, the person will say, he said, do you believe me to be God's servant now? But you believe your heart, confess with your mouth.
Amen.
By the old confession. Amen. Because these things come on the confession, the people's faith.
Amen.
It's like baptism and all these things. It's upon their own confession, what you confess about it.
Amen.
That's why I tell John Ryan, you go and say, I am healed. Go and testify that. Let them your confession. You're going to take you to it.
Amen.
You're going to bring the contact.
Amen.
So when that healing level comes to a certain place, then what begins to happen, you begin to see different ones that are catching.
Yeah.
You don't understand the platform no more, but the person in the platform may still need, you know, one or two things to lift the faith. You may say, you're a bad doctor the other day, so and so has happened, it's clearing away all that doubt. That way do is sweeping away all that doubt.
Yeah.
But that time somebody is here, this is the platform here, and this person needs five things we told them, and that person said one, said, but I know a woman, I committed any service. And that's the truth. Come out of God! I said, wait a minute, he says, you don't get healed. He said, this lady came with you.
Yeah.
You see? Now what happened? That faith right there. She got that.
Amen.
Because, and that's exactly what happens, because we don't have that gift of discernment. And that's why later on when people just come in with the gift of entertainment, he said, I'm going to lay that aside now. He said, I'm going to preach the word. So he said, reveal that Jesus Christ was present by a revelation from the Bible now. First, he was showing them Jesus Christ is present by a gift. He said, no, you know, no man can do that.
True.
That has to be God.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
So then, what happened? He used that gift to show them he's present.
Amen.
God is near.
Amen.
Then now, it became an assurance by the word. He has come down in this day by a promise. Revelation 10, the Lord himself shall descend. He himself is going to call his church out in this day. The ministry of the Son of Man being revealed. So then you catch it now. He is here.
Amen.
So when you start to realize now that he's here among the people now, then when you begin to lift the faith now, same thing of faith, and I hear many words.
Amen.
But many of those people have just received healing and not salvation.
Amen.
Because it was a gift. I don't want to get delivered. I don't want to write back to the Methodist Church healed. Back to the Baptist Church healed. I never saw the promise identified that this was the Messiah sign, like it came to Abraham. They didn't believe that part of the theology, but they accepted that part for the healing.
Yeah.
He said, all healing is based on faith, so they come again. That's why a woman come. He said, that's not your one preacher. He wouldn't tell them about being a one preacher. He said, go that way, you are healed. And your mind, the first thing your mind is, you tell you, don't preach to a woman.
Yeah.
God knows somebody will never change. She might be told by some minister right there before. Some person, she might read the scriptures right there before. So what good is this man tell her? Because she already been told by God from the word.
Amen.
Only she's in the Bible. If a man tell her, who uses that?
Amen.
In the Bible, yeah. It's the man who is not the man who is no more.
Amen.
You mean you can vex the man from your name. But the word, what is in the Bible, and God said?
Amen.
See? So then, when we see like that, I realize, I says, you know, the people have to be ministered to individually, and the mind and the attitude and the spirit have to be set in that, and that's why we are here for those type of things.
Amen.
Because it says when you speak to people individually, you're going to find out this one could really want to serve God, this one really have nothing in their life but them. No fleshly sins, no right around there. It's just that they can't really accept, they're not anchored.
Amen.
They can't say that God really, you know, have forgiven them or something in the past. And the critic fall into condemnation. And once you fall into condemnation, there's no confidence, so faith can't really take a hold.
Amen.
So somebody's going to believe God, so you try, okay. And you try to put your mind in it, and it lasts for an hour. And it can come right back, because you have to get something out to show where by God's word, that is the devil bringing that, and that is not God, because God's word says this, and give you something to anchor the soul. So notice here, when we started last week, I took this script in Hebrews, and I said, one of the things that happened to people is this. I took Hebrews 3, where they come out of Egypt, and they go into the promised land. And they came out, and they didn't hold the beginning of their confidence steadfast unto the end.
Amen.
And we found out that to mean they lose the vision of the real objective why they was called out.
Amen.
They're being called for a purpose. And the work wasn't just being called out, it was being taken into.
Amen.
And he said, let us fear lest any one of you come short of a promise left us of entering into the rest. You know, don't be satisfied with being called out. Don't be satisfied with eating from being on the rock. Don't be satisfied with eating manna at time. Don't be satisfied with Moses personally talking to you at night.
Amen.
Don't be satisfied with you going to the presence of God and get healed on the journey.
Amen.
He said, but the thing is, don't be satisfied until you come into that rest.
Amen. Amen.
No, so your real battle is what? To keep that.
Amen.
Because all these things are wrong here. When they were going to the Red Sea, and they saw a moment before when they see the Egyptians coming. When they couldn't see no water, and they taste the water right there, it's bitter, and they start to mutter complaining and call it Moses. And God just told Moses, take that tree right next to it, and throw it in the water, and the water gets sweet.
Amen.
So when I was going to show, look at the moment they complained, talking all kinds about Egypt, and right next to that tree, and then that tree, what do you think for that?
Amen.
And I had it right there in front of the eyes.
Oh.
Just to take it and put it there, and the problem solved.
Amen.
But he was showing them how easy they will be trapped into disbelieving and provoking him.
Amen.
So notice the scripture I read here, it says, when God called Abraham, after he endured, he received the promise.
Amen.
Alright, the children of Israel wouldn't endure.
Amen.
And he says, let us look unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finish of our faith.
Amen.
And let us begin to lay aside these things and don't get faint and weary where in our minds. That's where it comes, that's where the battleground is. And like the age we live in is a mind age. And the next scripture is, be confident that God will begin the work, will perform it until that day. In other words, God is the author, he's the finisher. And your confidence is that God, how he called Abraham, when he's the author, called him out before he received the promise, Abraham endured. Because why? He believed it's impossible for God to lie.
Amen.
That, those things is going to base on what you think about him.
Amen.
His integrity. Remember, he's the author. He's the finisher. He's the one who started opening you. He's the one going to perform. Is that right?
Amen.
You're going to do it. So it's going to be based on that.
Sure.
That is why in your life it must be settled. And this morning could be a good place at any time to really settle it.
Amen.
Down in your heart.
Amen.
Have you met him? Did he start something in your life?
Yes.
Now sometimes a person may not even recognize. A person may not recognize all what's really happening, because you see, sometimes God is drawing you. No man comes if God drawing.
Amen.
And Moses, you know, fell led to go down the backside that day. And Moses saw a bush being burned. And he's attracted to it. And he said, let me turn aside, this is a good sight. This strange thing. But when he found out what it was actually God.
Amen.
So then he began to realize, this is not my chance. I was drawn to this place because God had come down for that very purpose.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So you begin to understand a little clearer. I have nothing to do with this thing.
Sure. Amen.
Now that begins the end. It's not the end, but it begins the end of your struggle.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Because it's not that, it's not you trying to do it.
Amen.
Is He have come down to call you and is beginning to reveal to you His purpose for you.
Amen.
That's why the scripture says, you are called, you are de-called according to God's purpose.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Those He formed you, He didn't predestine, those predestines, I mean, it can be called.
Hallelujah.
We didn't call who He didn't predestine it.
Sure.
It's who He predestined to call.
Amen.
When He called you upon His purpose. When His purpose is revealed to you, you realize that many are called, but few are chosen.
Amen.
See? So the purpose becomes clear to you because the one who ain't chosen is not they ain't called. They ain't called unto what you call unto.
Amen.
You let them call. See, because at midnight there's a long time, behold, the bride and coming, and 10 went out.
Amen.
Amen.
But 5 went in. See, because He foreknew these to be in the bride, a special class now.
Amen.
And the thing is that you recognizing that in your own life that He has done that for you. And these are the things that where salvation is entirely to the Lord. It's not you trying to be saved, you realize I've already saved you.
Yeah.
See? But I've come down here to make it a living reality in your life.
Amen.
In other words, to give you that kind of state.
Amen.
You have a perfect standing in that God sees it through the blood perfect already.
Amen.
But you're still up and down.
Amen.
There's many things that you need to be strengthened and delivered from completely.
Amen.
And grow out of and mature into.
Amen.
See? But He's determined to bring you to that perfect state where you're no longer tossed to and fro.
Amen.
You grow up in the Christ who is the head.
Hallelujah.
And you come to that perfect state, tempted in all points, but yet without sin.
Amen.
That's why He did it. Abraham, when He called Abraham, Abraham was safe. But Abraham had no faith, yet no real faith yet, because you were on the Egypt as a famine camp, we're not in the province here, have faith that God will bring the path of the promise concerning making a great nation, all these things.
Amen.
See? But you were saved when God called you. God called him to lose him.
Amen.
You were chosen.
Amen.
But Abraham shows God election.
Amen.
And if you take Abraham as a promise, look how simple it is. And it says, Abraham was a sinner. Genesis 12, when you meet the man is a sinner.
Amen.
And it begins with God coming down. The God of glory appeared unto Abraham in Mesopotamia.
Amen.
Stephen said, all of get thee out of thy country. Exactly, precisely the very same thing in Revelation 10, Revelation 18, 4. Another a mighty angel come from heaven. Come out of her, my people! Revelation 19, the call to the wedding supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
Is that right?
Yeah.
What is that? Come here, Melchizedek.
Amen, that's right.
So when you look and you see how that bride and all the man who goes through in time, if you have been changed, all things. And look at when Abraham was called in Genesis 12, the man began to walk there believing God, not understanding God, just believing God.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's the way that we didn't understand as well. We believe more because of what we were going through at the time, and what was presented to us seemed to take effect in our lives, and there was something in us that drawn us in. We didn't sit on it for 5 years and like Paul 3 years there, we didn't study out this thing before we identified some of it. It was something somebody said, maybe it's just the baptism and they're coming. Maybe it's just one preacher, maybe something in our nation happened there and you have to leave.
Amen.
Maybe it's all in the world and problems in the house and somebody could tell about God to help you.
Amen.
You didn't come because you really saw a prophet and you saw these and you saw this. You were looking for Malachi 4:5 and watching every man and seeing if your life compared to Malachi 4:5 and see, like, if what he preached was the revelation of the seals and he was really vindicated, he was looking for those things.
Amen.
But then today now, when it comes to any other little promise, oh man, you want to examine, boy, I tell you, you want to check this and check this and check the other and different things, and half a time your mental balance keeping away from it.
Amen.
But that guy is hungry. Bob is like a fish out of water. You want something to get a hold on. And remember that the same message that justifies you, the same message going to glorify you.
Amen.
Amen. Same message that call you. And the altar is the same one that's going to finish the work.
Amen.
Because when God called Abraham, the man came out and began to follow. And we talked about the scripture many times, his life. But I just want to touch something here this morning. In relation to show how he hold a big of his confidence, steadfast in the end, how he had his mind back, how he's shaking out, and how he come right back in. And how God, for all those years, had never failed to remember that he had called this man.
Amen.
And that he had determined to bring the past that promise in the man's life.
Amen.
And even the man's mistake and shortcomings never get God to a place where God like was fed up to change his mind about his word concerning the man. But rather, we find the strength of the man's faith laid in the fact that God wanted to do that for the man, and God is more obligated to his own word than he really was to the man.
Amen.
And God is doing it because of the word that God had spoken about the man.
Amen.
And anyone being tried, but God's word was being tried.
Amen.
Because the man thing was secure from the time God called the man. And that God was mindful of the needs in the man's life and the places where the man's faith was faulted when he couldn't see no reasonable way. He said, Lord God, Eliezer, with the air of my things, and I could die childless, and you tell me my seem like this, a great nation?
Yeah.
And right there, it's not that he wasn't praying, it's not that he wasn't maybe worshipping God. Is that maybe he wasn't fervent in business and God is blessing him? Is that he wasn't trying to set his house in order and, you know, make sure he's at peace with all men and he's not cheating anybody and he's living a good, upright life? That was the problem. The place in his life where he needed strength and revelation was right there concerning how this promise was going to come to pass and like his living game. But a good thing about it, when he saw like it wasn't coming to fulfillment, he went back seeking God about it. He said, Lord, you tell me that when you call me out.
Yeah.
And I travel on, he said, I see no real signs in there.
Yeah.
So it showed that the man that was holding that in his heart was concerned about the things God told him.
Yeah.
But the thing with us many times, you know, if those things were anchored to us, we wouldn't go back seeking them about it.
Amen.
We might have heard it, but we never personally might have accepted it. Then, Lord, that is what you want to do for me.
Yeah.
Because, Lord, why am I saving you? Because I see you as a prophet? That you know we need to serve God, Mary?
No.
The problem we have more peace, you're going to say something that God has concerning you to you.
Right.
It's just a channel that God will talk to you and tell you. In his mind, the thoughts he's thinking about you.
Right.
Like God tells Jeremiah, he says, tell them with the secret of all their heart, I'll inform them then.
Right.
Tell them they're going to go in 70 years, and afterwards, I will bring them back here again.
Amen.
So then the people can know they have a hope now.
Yeah.
They have something in life to hold before them. That, like Bible said, Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, endured his cross.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Now, he had a cross,
yes.
But he had a joy too.
Amen.
And because he looked to that joy, he could have carried his cross.
Amen.
Because the cross and the weight of the cross never erased the joy that was beyond the cross.
Hallelujah.
Abraham's trials never paralyzed his vision of the baby.
Amen.
The children of Israel, the trials and they couldn't eat and they couldn't drink and they couldn't wear and they couldn't do a lot of different things. What which was really the lust, the desire wanted that God was trying to purge out.
Amen.
Paralyze and secure everything from the land for it to get money.
Amen.
Alright?
Amen.
Now the thing that we call the same way. And the prophet said to speak something to somebody's word that a theologian could tell us.
Amen.
I was a prophet of this age.
Amen.
And because they had denominated and put a full stop, and we live in this age and time for this promise, they could tell us how to, but they didn't move on with God.
Amen.
So God has to somebody tell us about this for this age, because he's getting ready to go and do this part. He has finished all the other things. He has come to the store, come to the castle, come to the shop. See? So he has to tell us how there's going to be a people manifest the full word. There will be a people who will change. There will be a people who have asked to receive like the Lord, the harvest, coming for the grain.
Amen.
So I want somebody to tell that to them. That's why Paul is raised up.
Amen.
And then he did, well, that brings the entire world, all are scattered.
Amen.
And he's going to take one who is gifted to catch them tied together and reveal what the promise is in this age. Because each age was only a stage of it. So then when it came to us now, and he told that to us, that is what God is saying to us.
Amen.
In this age, you'll be perfect like I am perfect.
Amen.
In this age, there will be a resurrection. In this age, the dead that will die for thousands of years will rise again and be clothed in mortality. In this age, you shall be changed.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God said, I'm going to put witnesses, I'm going to put a cloud here, I'm going to put a pillar of fire, I'm going to put things, I'm going to make science testify, because we're going to have scientific age and science trying to disprove everything and confuse the mind. But the kind of science I'm going to give you and the authentication I'm going to give you, you are going to know that these things is me.
Amen.
It will be signs of confirmation to you, to rest you. To take all your fears and your doubts and to let you know that I have come down this generation.
Amen.
And my purpose of coming down is to fulfill these things that I have spoken to you by my prophet.
Hallelujah.
So I say, if you're stopping short in your belief, in your faith, and you hold up to the prophet coattail, or your faith stay right there inside of you, maybe some people don't realize when they stop, you know. Some people think they believe everything. But the kind of belief is not resulting into action in their life towards the things they say they believe.
Amen.
Or when come to make sacrifice, to make those things manifest in their life, sacrifice becomes a fight, a problem.
Amen.
It's like God demanding too much. Amen. So then it comes right back. Do they really believe? Or with what kind of conviction do they believe what they say they believe? And if this is how people get to recognize they don't really believe. They're making believe certain things. They think good thoughts about it. Oh, it thrills them to think that could be so. Shall I have pleasure, my Lord? Again? And laugh with all your unbelief. But, you know, to think of it. But then, to know that God says to us, Sarah had to come from that place. She wasn't a bad woman, she wasn't going to work, you know. Connected Abraham, the prophet. Is that right?
Yeah.
Sure. She was connected to that, and, you know, she's come along, and God could kill her right there for unbelief. But as long as she's in that condition, she can't bring that change. She can't bring for the promise. But then Hebrews says, by faith, she judged God faithful to receive strength to conceive seed.
Amen.
She received strength first. Something needed to happen to her. The very same thing she laughed at is when she had to come and start to believe that God had really meant that. And that wasn't a joke, and that wasn't some human message. That was just saying the Lord promised that it was going to happen in her life.
Amen.
You see? So coming out. You're coming out. Many of you are coming out.
Amen.
But there must be purpose. There must be objective. There must be these places in your life that you know He has begun the work in me. And the work, the first stage of that work, is calling you out, bringing you to a state, a justified state. See? That you have forgiven your sins, begin to show you the atonement. See? He begin to show you the atonement. That you need somebody to die in your place. How can we justify the use of the atonement?
No.
I think it's these things in the lives of people, that those places. You see, you know, when God does our work, and what you're going to be a recipient of is on the basis of the work. And your faith in receiving what you're going to receive is how clear you understand the work that He has done, legally.
Amen.
If they give some of you the transactional business, you have a company bank, and you know, different, you have to know what bank you go in.
Sure.
But the way your company, you can't go in the next bank where you have no account, and go down to, I go to all banks, you see, because the bank gives you money, and you know, no. And you actually have an account, and you know, it has certain things that govern the things.
Yeah.
And though it has something there you benefit from, you have to understand the procedure and the principle concerning these things, to receive it. Well, so it is that these promises in the word is sure to all the seed.
Amen.
See? It's sure to all the seed. And then I say, in coming to believe in what God says, does God really mean God can lie? No. Sometimes we see that not to disrespect God. Oh, sure, I'm not going to say God can lie. Nobody will ever hear that from my lips. I just don't trust him. You understand me?
Yeah.
You just don't trust him. Yeah. And you may do your mouth, but your actions speak louder than your words.
Amen.
Amen. Wait, they believe me, and I'll be the part. They can't believe him.
Amen. Amen.
And many times when Jesus says to the believers, thou that I am able to do this.
Amen.
Confess with your mouth. Don't just leave me here. You confess it if you believe it.
Amen.
You shall get the action. You put yourself in the same spot too.
Amen.
Sure. You have to get there.
Amen.
You're not going to start on the shore and eat out in the water. You have to step in the water up here and get wet out there too.
Yes.
Then you're going to really believe him.
Amen.
See, he's calling you. You're going to walk in his footsteps.
Amen.
And right there, those things is going to sort of reveal to you what your values are. You're going to walk into it. You're going to start to see the opposition from the world. Things that you like, you'll have to start to shed that weight.
Amen.
To walk further.
Amen.
And then you're going to find yourself, do I really want to walk? Do I really want that? Or do I really want this?
Amen.
Because where you were standing from saying you want that, nothing was required of you.
Amen.
And you had to give up nothing.
Amen.
But now, to go on with him, a pull is coming this way. And you have to say now, okay, you can't serve two masters. Mm-hmm. And what is thought had no influence in your life where you're dead, but I will put your test, now you see it has some influence.
Amen.
Then he turns around to you, lovest thou me more than these.
Amen.
He put Peter in the same spot. He followed for 3.5 years. He had a revelation, he confessed God the Christ, all those things. But yet you have to put him in that spot. You love me more than these.
Amen.
For me to go on further. He begins to look at that place. We're not going to stop here. He said we're going to go on further. But if you're going to fight, because I tell you, go over here away from the gallery, you're down here. I tell you over here, you're down from the testimony. I come back, but you see here, you're naked out here.
Amen.
So he put it in his pot. He doesn't know this confession. You believe I am the Christ. You believe I sent from God. You believe that I am the Messiah. He asked no question. You love me more than these now. The different thing now he's doing with. But Peter says, sure, he's the Christ, sure, Elijah reveal you, sure, he's the Son of Man, sure, the church will blow upon you, I have the keys too. But that's not the problem. So he's dealing with the problem is, you love me more than these, because you have an affection for other things, so you like this fishing thing.
Amen.
Sure. And he always finds a place in our life where things affect us and come right there.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because I know it's not the confession of your faith sometimes. When I say confession of faith, I mean the sense of like, I believe this message, I believe God's not promise. That keeps on going on.
Yeah.
Maybe something right in your life.
Sure.
You like that God fancy. And it's good to you. And I told you last week, things like that, when you get down and sort of pray before God and it comes up before you soon, and then you start to get wise, you have to pray around it. And you have to just touch it and just spend time on it. Because you want to remove your guilt by saying, at least I mention it to God in prayer, and then try to pass it.
Sure.
And God is saying, no, pray about that thing.
Yeah.
You know it's a problem, and I know it's a problem. Your friends don't know.
Amen, amen, amen.
Your man, you don't know how great that whole world is, but I know.
Amen,
your
amen,
pastor, amen, you know how great that whole world is, but I know.
Amen,
amen.
What would it mean?
Amen.
Sure.
That's the word.
And put that here.
That's the word.
And you try to bypass it. Try to go on it. Over
amen.
It. You're not going to grow one inch, you're not going to move one step. You're going to stay right there.
Amen.
You're going along that thing.
Because
the more you have seen from it, you shouldn't. You see how strong it is?
Amen.
It's so hard this thing to do?
Amen.
And if somebody asks you, say, no problem to you. Then, do you tell the truth?
Amen.
You have another problem now.
Amen.
You have that, and now you're lying to.
Amen.
You see what we're talking about?
Amen.
Then we talk about, Lord, I want to be more sincere. What do we mean? That? Is there we are going on?
Yes.
Here we are going. And those things, by a lot of people, they don't receive the Holy Spirit because the attitude for what they wanted for, they want to have the Holy Spirit keep those things. And I say, when Brother Ram saw that the Pentecostal people trying to push the people to speak in the tongues, he said that the Holy Ghost, he came and he brought the message, what is the Holy Ghost? What is the Holy Ghost given for? Christians and the Holy Ghost identify with the Spirit of Christ in this is to instruct people how to receive the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Because hey, you can't, if you're coming to know what it is, that's what we have to know. You have to know what it is. He said, now, the reason I have taken these subjects in line like this, you cannot come and receive the Holy Spirit unless you know what it is. He says, because he said, he saw people then begin to gain another spirit. Because they didn't know the word.
Amen.
Something Java right here, they didn't know it cursing and glorifying Satan in another tongue. They don't know.
Amen.
And they get it. And they're glad they get sealed. And then they live a rotten life afterwards. And say, how come you live in that life and they get this? What's going on? How come when they sort of paint their face and bump their hair and come a temple like a boss shop, and they say they get this here?
Amen.
Are you not dying to be born again?
Amen.
You see, now the reason I have taken something like this, you cannot come into the Holy Spirit unless you know what it is. And you cannot receive it if you know what it is, unless you believe it's given to you.
Amen.
Amen. See, your belief is given to you. If you have any doubts, it's given to you, no problems.
True.
Let God want to give it to you. Is God free gift to you?
True.
He says, Jesus didn't tell them, he said, pray, then hunger to us shall be filled.
Amen, amen.
Not only did he take them stripes on his back for your healing, he died, he poured out his soul, the Bible says, and said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And the guy is finished, and he gave up the ghost. So?
Amen.
Because he came to release that spirit.
Amen.
He came to give it to you. So you have to know he's given to you.
Amen.
And all goes back to that atonement.
Amen.
Do you like that?
Amen.
Hey, go back to that atonement.
Amen.
And what was Elijah sent for in this day? To restore the original atonement.
Amen.
Because Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, the denominational ages, we are a substitute atonement.
Amen.
See, the early church had the atonement.
Yeah.
They knew what it was. They knew what was available. They showed the redemptive blessings. They live and have those redemptive blessings among them. They live in the victory.
Amen.
The life they live, they live by the faith of the Son of God. Not faith in the Son of God, the faith of the Son of God. That very faith of the Him was inside of them.
Amen.
And that voice has come back in the form of the message today.
Amen.
Because that atonement didn't be of this a man died. When he died, Paul said, Christ died according to what? The scriptures. Christ rose according to the scriptures. And many a man died on the cross. Many a man got whipped and beaten. That's what he did to do it.
Amen.
This man was fulfilling prophecy every step he was doing. And that word, each phase of it was representing a work, a stage in the work of redemption, of bringing our people back.
Hallelujah.
Then they begin to see how he secured it for them.
Amen.
Amen.
Because remember, the way we were born by sex, we can get holy.
No.
We born separate from God.
Oh,
but what man born a certain way and secure it for us?
Amen.
And say,
Hallelujah.
I'm going to give it unto you.
Hallelujah.
That's why I come and do this. It's for you, man. You can have it.
Amen.
Because I live, you shall live also.
Amen.
The works I do, shall you do also.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's what he's doing. So our thoughts must be lined up with those things.
Amen.
If our thoughts are not lined up with those things, then what do we really come to receive? Then, you mean you go through that, say that, and then we don't receive it?
Yeah.
Then you didn't win.
Amen.
You mean I come and take a halfway sanctified church in this age, you know, to go? No, so when he's coming, he's taking people in an immortal body.
Amen.
He's going to take a perfect church. He's going to take a perfect bridegroom and perfect bride back to the Garden of Eden. That's what he's going to do.
Hallelujah.
That was going back. Nevertheless.
Amen.
Because, you know, it is secure. And he's not going to come Because like a farmer waited with patience for that fruit to ripen. And he knows that God's son, and himself is the farmer, himself is the sun, himself is the rain, himself is the husband, himself is the reapers, himself is the wheat.
Amen.
Everything is him.
Amen.
The church is him.
Amen.
The ministry is him.
Amen.
He's the son, he's the revelation.
Amen.
It's all him.
Amen.
That's why he's not going to fail.
Amen.
He's not going to fail at all.
Amen.
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 And you can't receive it, you don't know what it is, unless you believe it's given to you, and it's for you.
Yeah.
And when, and then, you cannot know whether you got it or not, unless you know what results it brings. And this day, how much we all know the real results it brings. Pentecostal talk, the results just speaking tongues and jumping around, and some people just roll on the floor, having manifestation. We find, no, it's going to go deeper than that.
Yeah.
To realize the real results, not just manifestation, but evidence. Now, you gotta go. So if you know what it is, and you know who it's to, and what action it brings when it comes, then you know what you've got when you get it.
Amen.
Then you have won my battles. But you know what you got when you get it.
Amen.
You know you've got a hand, how much people here don't have a hand?
Amen.
Sure. They are father and mother. See, it doesn't happen in the sky, they just pick up by the side of the road, you go. Go out and pick out some tree, some person sell in the market. No. You know, there's a devil or something. You come this, in this whole baptism process.
Amen.
Same way. So that was just settled. He said, that's the way of receiving the Holy Spirit. You got to know what you are coming for and how to receive it. And I said, no, that attitude is what I'm dealing with. And that inner man is what I'm trying to get aligned up here. You found what is happening there is that people just find them that since they've been in prayer and those things come up before them in the prayer. And they try to bypass those things. And God has shown them. You know, move those things. Kill the teeny weeny unbelief in your life. If your faith as a grain of mustard seed.
Amen.
It can be hybrid and yet too small to only small seeds. See? What if you have unbelief, teeny unbelief? It is powerful just as faith in its own way. See? So you have to know, what do you want the Holy Ghost for? Just to say you have it, so when the time comes, you're going to go? He said, no. When he began the Holy Ghost given for, he said, he sent for a certain purpose. Do you want to submit yourself to that purpose? Holy Spirit may make you wear a long dress. But some people want the Holy Ghost, but they don't want to carry a dress too long. Some people want the Holy Ghost, but you might have to cry to your boss, isn't it? You might be out in the parking lot. You may have a stagger like a drunk sometimes. You may get thrown in prison for talking the truth. I think I stand for the word. But do you want the Holy Ghost still then? Because it's come for a purpose. He may tell you, you know, leave Adam, Mother, brothers, and sisters, go there and preach my gospel. Do you want the Holy Ghost there? We want to be home and you want to have things your way and sit in your little corner. Then if you're willing to pay all that price to be submissive to the will of God, to the Holy Spirit when it comes, you see, then you don't want to live with the purpose of being sent for. And when the Holy Spirit comes, you'll clean up that life and make it like an oddball. One of them nuts. You may have a short hallelujah and different things and glory to God. And, you know, it's the kind of, you know, make you not look too like a fanatic among your friends. So he says, it's kind of a certain purpose. Jesus, I'm going to send the lead, the guide to all truth in these things. Let me show you a simple thing in the Bible here. And I'm going to just come off of this. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 9. Letter 5:15, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. It won't say helping you.
Amen.
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 First Corinthians 15, verse 9. This is Paul writing. Therefore, I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. For I am the least of the apostles.
Amen.
That I'm not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Then, let's see Ephesians 3, verse 8. That was 18 years after Paul's conversion, 1 Corinthians, when he's writing that. Ephesians 3, verse 8. 24 years after now, his conversion. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that he preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. First he was the least of all apostles. 18 years after, he can look back at himself and see how old he was. But he keep on going to Christ 24 years after. He's going to see he's least than all the saints now. Being there to see how much more unworthy he was than you were seeing 18 years ago. 1 Timothy 1. I know 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy is some of the last ones he wrote just before he died. 2 Timothy is the last one he wrote before he died in prison. And it's 29 years after. 1 Timothy 1:15. He said, this is a faithful thing. This is a faithful thing and worthy of all acceptance. Amen. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What is that? 29 years after now. He wasn't the least of the apostles no more. He wasn't the least of the saints no more. Sinners no.
Amen.
He's the chiefest of all sinners.
Amen.
What is telling us? That sin is a progressive revelation. And it's not until after you're really converted, then you really begin to realize what sin is.
Yeah.
When we're a sinner, we really know what sin is.
Yeah.
See? And when we come to the Lord, what we put away, we thought we had put away our sin.
Yeah.
But we had to come along the word. We had to realize that many we didn't put away our baptism.
Yeah.
That we were carrying all along, because we didn't see that as sin.
Yeah.
See? Few sinful things that we have back there, we just clean that up.
Yeah.
But that being a growing grace, and being able to see other things in our life, that all of us wronged by the world, because the world begin to go a little deeper in your body now.
Yeah.
It begin to go to your spirit. Then go deeper in your spirit. It begin to grow in your soul.
Yeah.
See? And all the things have to be laid aside. Now you say, lay aside every weight, every sin. See? Because I'm certain that many of us here think that we used to do it 5 years ago. We won't do that now.
Amen.
You gotta realize the attitude, the approach and things.
Amen.
See? Maybe they just come in the message, they have patience to nobody. God save them as a sinner. Maybe you live a real life in sin. Come in there, can have 2 months patience with an unbeliever. Yeah, because why? Their mind is the all there on different things and it wasn't there for them. When they come in, you know. You know what I mean? They come in to get righteous, boy, I tell you. They go ahead and tell them, reveal them more what sin is. See? And notice, it wasn't that Paul was getting worse. But he was realizing more and more his own sinfulness. We say, oh, Jesus Christ died for us. Boom. Scripture. That is a put. Why he come? But when you see something that had to be so perfect, not even an angel, not even a Moses who lied to no one to come and die for us. But no matter what you look at the book, that shows how far lost we were. That's your whole loss, whole loss. By declaring that perfect, that even critics, religious people, sinners, examine him as I find no fault in this man. Search him out back and forth. Like they examined that sheep for all them days. Before they get to kill it. And if it was only had one blemish, or did a flayed that burnt offering? Within or without, to check it. Outwardly be pure in the body, but inwardly check the inwards. Check the feet, check this. To show they had to check him. Before he could say it is finished. And he can rise again for our justification, and only then we'll have peace with God.
Amen.
See? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. In no other way, no man going to get peace with God.
Amen.
The false peace. The real peace is to know that he was accepted. That's why he rose. It proved he had met God's requirement. You see, that's why the basis of his coming and being born was tied to his resurrection too. And that's why when they tried to, what the devil was doing in the Corinthian church was trying to take away the value of the resurrection. And then they were trying to take away the hope the Christian have of being changed too. And then it doesn't pass. And Paul said, what? Is it that we are all more, then most miserable as we can drink and die? Because if Jesus Christ didn't die, then we have got hope to begin with. See, now that 1 Corinthians 15 is one of the most important things in the entire Bible, because it defends and proves, according to the scriptures, that Christ died and rose.
Amen.
And these are secured to us.
Amen.
And now when a believer comes, they come knowing where they're standing, because they know that the very God who did that, and know they don't understand what he did, but yet he forgave them of their sins and these things, had to come and teach them further what those things meant to them.
Amen.
You have to teach them further. Make it more real to them. And when it begins to get more real to them, then you find you can stand a little better. Then a situation comes in your home, you're a little more or less frustrated because you know the approach God, you know the basis you have, you know the channel is still there. You know that Jesus Christ even died for that also.
Amen.
See? And all you have to do is look and see the extent he went.
Amen.
And the joy he had behind the cross is that we were going to be with him.
Amen.
See? We is going to be with him.
Hallelujah.
When you look and think, because the only one thing he ever prayed for himself. St. John 17, he prayed that we would be with him.
Amen.
He said the only thing Jesus ever prayed for himself is that we would be with him.
Hallelujah. Wonderful. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
So, in other words, in other words, I'm going to show you this. This is the book here. This is the title Deed. This is what they use to claim that you are a legal owner or possessor of those things and you're entitled to it. While the enemy is trying to say, no, you can't have it.
Hallelujah.
You're not supposed to have that. You can say, that is for me.
Amen.
It's mine. My Lord died for it. Because your heart, you know, I am identified with him. I went down that water, I went down that water with tears, with no dry confession, no man didn't force me, I didn't try to dodge hell. I saw my sin, I saw my shame, I know I put him on the cross. It's for me that Jesus died. For me he was crucified. He died in my place. That's why I'm willing to take a die that he can live inside of me. See, you come to that conviction. And that promise, and look 2,000 years ago, he said, I go to prepare a place for you.
Amen.
And I'll come to receive you. And then he came back in this day 2,000 years after and revealed and identified and vindicated. He's back here.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Then
we know it's true.
Amen.
We know it's true. He has come back.
Amen.
That's right.
No wonder. So then if we see he has gone, prepare a place, come back, gathering us together, open the book to gather us together, put in the faith in our hearts right now that will change this very body.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Then can we come and he'll begin the work?
Amen.
We'll perform it.
Amen.
But he's the author and the finisher. He's started in you.
Amen.
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 Like Abraham, he endured. Patiently endured. And then you receive
Amen.
The promise.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That is why
If you have a need this morning, we're going to pray for you.
Amen.
Maybe individual by individual, some of the time is 12:15. We have also. And those who may not have a need, urgent, desperate need, then you, together with me, will unite your feet. And we try to, if one person this morning, God can just move from that place where the enemy is holding them right there and move them out like clutches and bring them further, it would achieve the purpose.
Amen.
That God is true to His word.
Amen.
And you in your heart seeing those things. Otherwise, sometimes people, they baptize and they confess. But they confess back there and repented, but not really with a real revelation of all the sin.
Amen.
And later on, they're going to go along and get a revelation of what sin really is and how sinful they really are.
Amen.
If you didn't really understand, you know, about new birth, you would be born again, all the different things. I didn't understand that shit when she back there and that girl was birth and how we were born lost and born dead to begin with.
Amen.
They didn't mean to see the real grace of God. They didn't mean to see how God is talking in their heart all along and how they resisted God's will. What are we going to see? Tell them if you will be really baptized properly.
Amen.
Get baptized. Go ahead, accept the baptism. Sure. But you see, like Paul, your revelation is progressive. As you begin to grow, you see more and more how sinful you were. If you then, when you see more and more how sinful you were, then more and more you're going to appreciate what He did for you.
Amen.
Then more and more you're going to realize with that atonement, your tithe is an atonement, and nothing's going to move you away from that atonement. And the Lord is always at my right hand and for all is ever before me.
Amen.
Sure. And nothing is going to move you from that.
Amen.
Because you know in your heart that when He did, He secured that very thing to you.
Amen.
Tomorrow we're going to speak all morning and then we're going to have the time to pray again. Maybe generally tomorrow. But today we have a few minutes and we're going to pray maybe one or two. They will feel, you know, in their heart to begin to see. Begin to open to them, and they just want to begin to let go right where they are. Words speak to you and prick you in your heart this morning, right inside of there. Or maybe in your flesh you just try to smother your conviction, but God just stick you inside of it and say, "It identifies you."
Amen.
See what you've been doing?
Amen.
Look, it's been spoken. Look why all the weeks there. You're not really moving on this yet.
Amen.
See? You can go right inside, but the thing is that as a child of God, He helped me move on. Oh, he got to Abraham, he says, Abraham. He said, you come to go, clutch the door with me. So that's what he says. Look at his start. He said, count it. Look at his size, number it. You can do it.
Amen.
And God did like what he did Job. He said, where were you then? And being a candle, place a shame. Look, I'm God's eye stature. Look, Abraham. You only got one son. He said, you're going to have a battle in the mind. You're going to go childless. He said, let me show you what you will become. Watch it. Number that is what you are going to become. You have one child. Look at it. Pick up one grain of sand, Abraham, from the seashore.
Amen.
And hold out one grain in your hand. Dust off all the rest. Look what you're worrying about. Look what I want to do for you when you're walking on here.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
He said, pluck one star in the sky. Look what I want to do for you there.
Amen.
And then we realize, in this little finite mind, all we take God and bottle Him up. And then put Him so far away, and you want to come right in, so close. But, you know, some of us, we don't even imagine or the thought of having to live like that. But that's the joy of a Christian.
Amen.
That each day as you walk with Him more and more, is letting go and being overcome by His presence, overcome by His presence, overcome by His presence. And until whatever we do, and we say and we move, is by His Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But Jesus, the word I spoke to you and made you clean.
Amen.
Your Father sanctified by the word of His truth.
Amen.
That's my prayer this morning, that these words will wash your mind, wash your spirit, wash that soul. So wash away them ways and just make your channel clear.
Amen.
Make your heart more receptive. And the Holy Spirit just will get right inside of you.
Amen.
And just move among you in such a way that we can really, truly be blessed of God.
Amen.
Let us sing this little song of faith to you, holy from my transgressions. on the cross, crucified. For me, Jesus died. On the cross.
On the cross, crucified,
in great sorrow,
in great sorrow,
he died. Oh, the giver of life,
the giver of life, was he.
Oh, yet my Lord was despised.
And rejected of men. Is Jesus of God?
Everyone singing, he was wounded for mine. Make it personal.
He was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity.
Oh, surely he bore sorrows.
Surely he bore our sorrows.
By his stripes, all 40 of them.
And by his stripes, we are healed.
Price for healing was paid.
Price for healing.
Let's look at him back there being whipped.
Was paid.
And those cruel stripes were made.
And those cruel stripes were made.
Within Pilate's judgment hall.
Within Pilate's judgment hall.
Now he's suffering a fall. What a hope that is.
Now he's suffering a fall.
Perfect healing for all.
Body is mine.
Oh, everyone, he was wounded.
He was wounded.
Oh, that was me who'd been wounded for.
Oh,
my hard heart, my sins. All my iniquities he was bruised for.
He was bruised.
Every time he knows to do right, he didn't do it. That pain goes right back to his heart. Make him remember that day he took it for you. Surely he bore his sorrows.
He bore.
The leper to cry, saying, surely I know.
In the leper,
a type of sin, every one of us is a leper.
To cry, saying, surely.
Do you have faith? He can make you clean today. That thou, Lord, can make me whole.
Behold.
When his great paint was seen, let him see yours today.
When his great paint was seen,
Jesus said, yes, I will.
Jesus said, yes, I will.
And touch him and made it clean.
And touch him and made him clean.
Oh, he was wounded.
He was wounded.
Oh, from the depth of his soul, a real vision of Calvary today. A real true identification with him. Break loose of your own self.
He was bruised.
My sick soul,
he has healed my sick soul.
Oh, may it be ever at home.
May it be ever at home.
And he'll do the same for you.
And
that's how we did it back in the Bible, made them whole, completely sound, from the crown of the head to the soul to the feet. Same yesterday and today and forever.
He's the same yesterday and today and forever.
This healer of men today,
yes, healer of men.
And you sing the chorus, if you want to come forward and make a line, you may come.
He was wounded.
Oh, let's make one line right here.
Transgression.
Oh, he was bruised.
He was bruised.
Oh, surely he bore sorrows.
Surely.
Better call it, come back.
He bore our sorrows. And by his stripes we are healed.
Oh, on the cross crucified. Is that better call it? Lead the song while I pray.
Rest secure.
Amen. Certainly appreciate your help and prayer. All of you praying souls, join in prayer with us for these. Join your hearts. We know two shall agree, isn't touching anything, it shall be done. We know we felt His presence close to us, praying for every need. And we know that God never gives false promises. We find Him true every time, to every need, to every word. So, may God help us keep faithful. Come tomorrow at 11 again. Come right in and let us receive more from Him, all that we have need of. In Burke College, we want to thank Him especially for leading the songs. I think God has used Him in a really wonderful way. We just see the Holy Spirit just blessing Him and just keeping the atmosphere just right and just giving Him each song that we should sing. When we can recognize the presence of the Lord and the working of the Holy Spirit, surely lifts our faith to reach out and just take a grip right into the Lord and know Your word is true. It brings a satisfaction, a deep satisfied feeling on the inside that He knows and He cares and He understands. And then we realize so much more, we just need to just be close to Him. And we can just get right there and say, Lord, you know, this is where we ought to be, Lord. This is where we ought to be, just praying souls, just praying, just being close in Your presence, and surely Your way will be so clear. There will be not one need that will be too great. We'll know that He's able to take care of every one of them. So let's just stand. May want to ask God's servant here, Brother Rojas, glad he was here to even and the next meeting, the assembly to join me and pray with me for these, that we can really be here. God, just so hard to deal it. Maybe all this strike, but we can just be here to minister to all hindrance and join our hearts and faith together to help God's needy people. And we'll be so realizing more and more what a great responsibility that is and how we want to do everything to be ready in this hour. So I just want to ask Him to ask God blessing this missal. May His presence go with us. There'll be no sisters meeting this evening. We spent quite a while here already, and you know, we're just gonna have service tomorrow morning again. So I trust that, you know, if you made any plans, it didn't throw you off too much, but by the grace of God, we will be able to just, you know, just bypass that service this evening and be here again tomorrow. I just have to bow our heads and close our eyes.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've reached a point where we need more, Lord Jesus. Father, we want to strive lawfully, Lord, even as our precious brother Paul taught us. And if we're going to strive to be masters, we must strive lawfully, Lord. And we thank You, Lord, for the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and for Your grace, that You will look down on Your poor, suffering people, and in humility and in simplicity, Lord, as if You're talking to the children, let us know how we can please You, Father. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You have given Your servant the inspiration, the revelation, that You have revealed unto him, Lord, this is what we need, Father. Lord, and as children, Lord, we don't want to be disobedient to the words of the Holy Spirit. But you want to hold these things in our hearts, Lord Jesus. I want to take this meeting back home with us, Lord. Yes. Let me be our bedside, Father. Grab me on our tops, Lord. Where we walk in these streets, Father. Lord, let us see the reality of Jesus Christ made plain in His word, Lord.
Hallelujah.
That the precious word of the Lord could bring conviction upon our hearts, Lord. That we can live the kind of a Christian life, Lord Jesus, that is comparable to our precious brothers that has gone down in faith, Father.
Yes,
their blood still crying out, Lord Jesus. Still, Lord God, this gospel, dripping in blood, Father. May the Holy Spirit, Lord God, impress upon our hearts, Lord, to make You the most important person in our lives, Father.
Thanks,
to hold fast, Lord Jesus, this liberty that You have given unto us, Lord God, that we could overcome all things, Father, and have a testimony that You can look down upon us and say, this is my beloved children, in whom You are pleased, Lord Jesus. I pray for every brother and every sister, Lord, that the Holy Spirit go with us, Lord Jesus. The Holy Spirit strengthen us, Lord. And the Holy Spirit hold us in His arms, Lord, and shelter us from the storms of this life, Father. We know the road is going to get rougher, Lord. We know the trials are going to get more stiffer, Lord. We know Satan is going to try to deceive us.
Lord, more and more, Father. But your word has come to give us a light, Lord God. As David says, a light unto our path, we are lamp to our feet, Lord Jesus. And Father, we want to thank from the depths of our hearts, Lord Jesus. And may everyone go this evening worshiping you, Lord God, giving you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, Lord Jesus. And bring us back tomorrow, Lord. Father, we could come together as a people in one heart, in one objective, in one motive, Lord. Remember each other in prayer, Lord. Hear each other, Lord. Pray for the ministry that you have put amongst us. Pray for each other, Lord God. Oh, God, we know this is a season where we are together more thicker, Lord, in love, Father. For the love of the Holy Spirit, we shed upon our hearts, Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. That this church can become that church, Lord.
Hallelujah.
That the sinner long to see, Lord. That sinner that's kind of it, Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Father, we have this confidence.
Yeah.
That if we speak your word, Lord God, that you will add unto the church such as we have need of, Father. And this we're looking for, Lord God, more of the Holy Spirit. Join us together in love, Lord. It'll make us love you and love your word. And love to walk worthy of the vocation which we are called. The rest we leave up to you, Lord Jesus. And you can such preeminence our lives, Father, that Lord, you could do whatever you see fit, Lord. And you could even prepare us for any attack that the enemy will try to throw at us, Lord. We see us already trying to move in, Lord. But
yes,
these things may be to strengthen us, Lord, and bring us to unity, Lord God. The fourth of us and look away the calvary. And you can be our shield and our buckle, Lord God. Take all the cares and all the doubts, Lord God. Let us rest assured, Lord, that you have started the work is more than able to finish it. And all we look for is consecrated hearts, Lord, and dedicated people, Lord God. That we could be like the apostles. Lord, stand in faith, Lord Jesus. Granted, Heavenly Father. Go with us, Lord, and keep us along the way. And may we stand faithful and true in this hour. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, I ask it all. Amen.